Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory with a proud independent history, but is the island independent enough to pay its own bills in its worst ever financial crisis? By law, the U.S. territory can't declare bankruptcy, but it has defaulted on a $422 billion debt payment due by the end of business today. Puerto Rican officials have hinted that paying off the debt would mean cutting essential services like police patrols and electricity. And there are also other warnings out there that U.S. taxpayers need to worry. Kate Long is the founder of Puerto Rico Clearinghouse, a research service for people and institutions who hold Puerto Rican bonds. And she joins us now. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Joan.
Let me play for you the ways in which Americans have been hearing about this crisis through various TV ads.
After years of wild overspending, Puerto Rico is out of money. Who will bail out Puerto Rico? Washington says you will. Congress wants to bail out Puerto Rico with Teresa's retirement savings.
My life savings will be crushed.
If Puerto Rico is allowed to declare bankruptcy, high-spending states like Illinois will also want to declare bankruptcy. Tell Washington, no super Chapter 9 bankruptcy for Puerto Rico.
What does this message say to Americans, and how does it give the right or wrong impression?
So I think on both sides of the argument, there's some legitimacy in that ad. There are on the island of Puerto Rico about 60,000 people whose retirement savings are almost entirely invested in the bonds of the government, and that was for tax preferences that the government passed. The government has really not reined in spending this year. And as for Congress, there has been a lot of work over the last several months to create some kind of legislation that is fair to the island and also fair to bondholders. So overall, that ad, I think, takes a lot of scary things and smashes it into a little package.
What's going to get us beyond this situation here? The default, which is impossible legislatively, as far as the creditors are concerned, it's the sort of the same thing.
Right. So the Government Development Bank, which the governor announced the default for yesterday, was established in 1948 by Rexford Tugwell, who was appointed by FDR. And it has really run its course as the economic engine of lending for the Puerto Rican government. And over the last number of years, it's kind of become a Ponzi scheme where it moves money from one side of the government to another and borrows from the markets and pays back. And it's just basically become insolvent. They are broke, the Government Development Bank, and it's the first sort of major leg of restructuring that will happen for the government.
We talked earlier this hour about how the difficulties financially for Europe stem directly from the difficulties in governance that are the case in the Eurozone, that there's financial unity, but there's not political unity at all. Is the financial problem in Puerto Rico stemming at all from the governance question of, is it a territory? Is it a state? What is it? Mm-hmm. Some people believe that it's backed by the U.S. government.
Yes, I think part of the problems of Puerto Rico are systemic and relate to how Congress treats a territory. And there's issues like the Jones Act, where they have to use U.S. flagships to bring goods in. But overall, the Puerto Rican government itself has made it very difficult to conduct business there. And the World Bank ranks them 57th globally in terms of doing business, whereas the mainland U.S. is 7th. So you can see it's just much more difficult. It takes 45 days to get electricity in Puerto Rico. It takes 160 days to register your property. So it's just very hard in terms of creating economic activity to get things done in Puerto Rico. And that's a legacy of an old sort of brittle government.
What would be the tangible impact of these financial haircuts, I suppose, if the government basically has to account for its money?
Right. So there's 18 classes of debt in the debt stack of Puerto Rico. And at the bottom is some very weak debt that we're starting to see haircut. In fact, last night, some of the bondholders of the Government Development Bank agreed to take a 53-cent haircut, basically, so to mark that debt down to about 43 cents from 100. So what we'll see is the weakest part of the debt stack at the bottom be haircut successively, and it will start freeing up cash to service the stronger debt and will also relieve the burden on the government in terms of paying for debt service.
What are the services that are in jeopardy if this goes forward?
Right. So the governor has made the statement that essential services will be compromised if he doesn't default on this debt. It is a separate debt, by the way, of a separate corporation, the central government. But the other officials of the government have said in the past that about 70% of the Puerto Rican central government services were deemed essential, and that would be like police and education and healthcare spending. And the other 30% relate to more like cultural issues and sort of just general issues that are not deemed constitutionally essential. So The question is, will they start to make some reductions there? The truth is, since the governor said on June 28th of last year that the debt was unpayable, that they have increased the number of employees that work for the government.
Right, and you can't get $422 million by closing some museums.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely not. But again, that's, you know, this debt that's at the bottom of the debt stack is not really related to the central government. It's all these sort of satellite corporations and agencies that don't relate to the central government.
Who, as far as bondholders are concerned, get hurt the most here over the next 5 years?
John, there's so many parties at play in this story that every day it kind of shifts. And as you protect one class of debt, another one gets crammed down, sort of in the way that things are moving around. So who in the end will get hurt the most, it's hard to say. But generally, the weakest debt in the debt stack was sold on island because it was difficult to sell it on the mainland because of SEC regulations. So most likely those that are hurt the most in debt restructuring will truly be on island.
Is the worst in front of us or behind us?
I think the future for Puerto Rico is on the upswing now, personally. I've studied this for 4 years, and we're reaching a point where things are really starting to move. And old legacy institutions like the GDB, which have spent its mission, are now basically being, you know, eliminated. And they'll need to reform some kind of institution to, you know, renew lending. But a lot of the old stuff that had just become too corrupt is now collapsing.
Kate Long, founder of Puerto Rico Clearinghouse, a research service for bondholders. Thanks so much, Kate.
Thank you, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.